You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast, where we invite startup founders and digital marketers to discuss software and strategies used to build automated marketing and sales systems that scale. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. And today I have my very own, and I'm saying my because Noelia is a certified automation service provider, everyone. I've got Noelia Sanchez. She is a branding and digital strategist specializing in helping nonprofit organizations leverage content marketing to increase their impact, elevate their voice, and better connect with their communities. Noelia's insight into design, automation, and growth marketing has helped shape projects such as the NSF-funded ARC Network, a STEM Equity Brain Trust, and programming like the This Is Rural Health, a podcast by the California State Rural Health Association. She's had her hand in all of that. Her colleagues and clients agree she is an amazing left and right brain thinker and the perfect blend of strategy and design. And I have the privilege to talk to Noelia a bit about her journey into marketing and give you all insight on how she approaches growth via content. Noelia, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you on publicly, officially. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I'm so excited to be able to get to be here today with you. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes, yes. And so let me tell the listeners something about you, and then I'll give you the floor. One of the things that stood out to me with Noelia is when she first enrolled in the Automation Service Provider program, she was very specific of what she was looking for and where she was at in business. And I was like, man, that's so unique, because most of the times people are like, I'm trying to just figure it out. Will this solve all my problems for me? And getting to know you, it was like, of course, that's right on brand. That's like the strategist strategizing for themselves.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Right? I'm glad it came off that way, because I often feel like I'm quite a bit scattered when it comes to my own things. But yeah, so that's great to hear.
Yes. Yes. So when I hear your colleague saying she's a great right brain, left brain thinker, I have grown to experience that. I've grown to see some of your Notion pages that are just beautifully designed. It's just like, wow, Notion can do that, you know, but still very strategic and informative. So Noelia, give us a little bit of insight about you. How did you make your way into marketing? Was this something that you just knew when you were a little baby with the spoon in your hand, like one day I'm going to market? Or was it more organic over time, trial and error?
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know if any five-year-olds dream of being a marketer. So if there is one out there, I've never met them before, but that's, yeah, a cool idea. Yeah. So, you know, getting into marketing, I think it definitely was more of an organic thing. So, my journey into this is probably a little bit different than most folks, you know. So my degree is in linguistics. That's my bachelor's degree. And right out of college, I started working within nonprofit. So in nonprofit programming and administration. But I live in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area in California. And so when I got out of school, it was the first dot-com boom. And so all of my friends were getting, much like now, all the startup jobs and getting all into tech and getting all these cool benefits. And so I was like, I want to do this too. I want to get into it as well. So I went back to school and I got all my tech skills. And it's a term that was used a lot back then. People don't use it as much now, but I got an additional degree in multimedia design. So what that means is that you get to learn how to do all of the creative tech work. So video editing, audio editing, 3D design, web front end development, you know, all of that stuff. So I got all those skills and then went back into the workforce as a multimedia designer. And I got the chance to work at a really large global semiconductor company, over 70,000 employees globally. And I was within their corporate affairs department. So I really loved that. But I had a really tough experience there as a woman of color in, you know, this corporate environment. And something that often happens is that you begin to withdraw for women of color, you know, in these spaces that are not welcoming. And so I had a really tough time there. And couldn't really demonstrate my expertise and my skills and was overlooked many times. Ultimately ended up getting laid off from that job. And what felt so devastating at the time ended up being a blessing in disguise because then that got me inspired to take the tech skills that I had, marry it with what really I was passionate about is working with nonprofit organizations. And now fast forward 20 years later, and I've combined those two things. I get to do what I love. I get to control my own schedule, work with the clients that I enjoy working with. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up here.
Yeah, it definitely is a blessing in disguise when that good old job just says, you know what? It's not me, it's you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Right. And what I realize is that it's pain, it's grief, it's all of those things. And some people let the pain propel them, right? And while others let the pain prevent them from progressing in life. And it's always refreshing to hear that story of, look, this thing happened to me and I had two options. I could frown about it and really get down, or I can use it as a stepping stone into the next level, the next step for me. Tell me this, Noelia, because there's a lot of digital and email marketers that are listening, and everybody's trying to perfect their craft. Everybody's trying to figure out, who am I? What do I do? What do I have to offer? What was, if you can pinpoint one of the light bulb moments for you where I don't want to talk about what a client said. This is great. You're great at this, right? Because oftentimes clients say it and we don't internalize it, or maybe we don't feel that way about it. But what was that light bulb moment for you? If you can, where you realize, you know what, not only am I good at this, I really enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I definitely think it was when I figured out that I can be a creative person using technology, right? Because coming up as a kid, growing up, you know, I was a very kind of creative person. I like to make things with my hands. I make my own clothes. I sew. I do things like this. But I never considered myself like an artist, right? Because I was like, I'm not a fine artist. And I didn't go to school for fine art, you know, so I would minimize my aptitude for creativity. But once I got introduced to all of those like wonderful platforms and software that exists out there, you know, my first introduction to like Photoshop and, you know, Premiere, the whole suite, like the idea that I can do art on the computer was like thing like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, you know? And so that I leaned really heavy into design, right? Like the beginning of my career, I would say, was primarily focused in design. But then it kind of happened again when I was working with my nonprofit clients early on in my career. The first half is that I became kind of like the tech whisperer, you know, like they couldn't understand something that was going on with technology. In most cases, it first started off with, you know, nonprofits not understanding how to run their databases, their donor databases. So the equivalent to that is in the small business spaces like the CRM, right? Like they didn't know how to get the data that they wanted out of there. And so I was the person futzing around with the computer all the time doing graphics. So then they naturally just asked me, and I was able to quickly kind of figure it out. And so that was another moment of like, oh, I kind of like this. Like I know how to figure these out. And now I can kind of marry the two things together. Not only was I making graphics and writing emails and coming up with the visuals, I could also then figure out like who's going to get that message, who's going to get the information. So it often happened when I would allow myself to explore technology and what I'm capable of doing. So I think the same thing is happening to me again right now, to be honest, because there's so much new stuff that's, we're in this new boom, right? The no code, low code offerings. Yes. And so it's happening again, right? Like now, and I think you and I share this interest of like diving into creating applications, like what is possible that I can create on my own? Like in the olden days, I'm going to give up my age here, but like FileMaker Pro, y'all remember FileMaker Pro? Like,
oh,
I was obsessed with it. Oh, I would create my whole system in FileMaker, databases, connected, relational, wow, all the whole thing. And so now I get to do it again with even like better tools.
Yes. I will say this, Noelle, I didn't realize how similar our stories were with respect to art. I have an artist art background as well. And I, for the longest time, could not see the connection. I'm just like, how did the two ever work? Do I use marketing to sell my art? You know, I never saw it.
Right.
And of course, fast forward now, you see it peppered through everything I do, like more so the flow charts and how I make everything visual and colorful. I believe it's me flexing that art muscle and building that art muscle and just using it in this realm. But I do remember Photoshop 7 is what I learned. This is when the logo wasn't even in color. And it just was the hardest technology ever. There were no tutorials. This is before YouTube had tutorials and lynda.com and all of this. You had a few websites that
you got the software on CD. Like you had the CD.
Yes. Now, you know, I'm not saying I did, but I know those who downloaded it, burned it to a CD and then put it in their device.
You're that guy.
There's that person out there somewhere. And I just remember my journey with technology started with understanding that I can do a lot of the stuff I was doing analog, digital, and art was one of them. So I did not start in marketing. I did not start like, yeah, let's do this. Marketing was the last thing that I learned to do with technology. Prior to that, I was at I was in leadership at a local church, and I had to run a department, and just naturally I leaned towards technology. GroupMe, before GroupMe was what it is now, was like our group messaging app. I'm using Google Calendar and all of these things. And I looked back at them like, man, this has been a part of me all of this time. Is just now I'm intentional with what the result is, right? The use of technology is now about your marketing and sales process to help these businesses scale. So I love to hear it because I feel like that's all of us. We're just... Yep. Where you're throwing stuff out there, seeing what sticks. Hey, but a lot of times people don't ask, do I like that? Clients are like, we'll pay you. It's like, well, wait a minute. Do I like doing that? Right? Is that something that's native to me? So we, of course, our paths cross. You enrolled in the automation service provider program. I want to talk just real briefly and then get into your business offerings for nonprofits and how you solve problems with content and all of that. But what, just talk to us a bit about the state of mind prior to enrolling in the ASP program. Where were you at in business and what problems were you trying to solve for yourself?
Yeah. So, you know, for me at the time, I was starting to really try to figure out how I could scale my business beyond being a creative freelancer, honestly. Like I, although I've been in business for many, many years, it's primarily just been me. And I was wanting to be able to scale, to really be able to expand, be able to really take on more clients. So I had a very limited capacity when I was doing everything myself. And so right at that time, I started to put together a small team of part-time support and help to do some of the production work that I take on. And I realized that I needed support in being able to figure out like what is truly the best offering that I have. And something that was told to me a long time ago was You know, really the money is in kind of like the back end development, less of the front end, like, because the front end development, you could always outsource, you can get wonderful designers out there to help support you. Yeah. But the money is really in the strategy and in back end development. And so I wanted to beef up that side of my business and really focus myself more on strategy. And I have a colleague, a friend, shout out to Kronda. She is also in the community. She's an ASP also. And so she told me about your community. She was already in your mastermind. And that's really how I just started to explore it and realize, like, yeah, this is where I could really hone in on my skills of strategy and really leverage and flex that side of my brain and sort of leave the design and creative into a production space where I can hire people to do that work. So yeah, it turned out that way.
I have to say it's been great too, watching the evolution. I remember those early days and I remember how the conversation started to change more and more. And then I would hear about more people. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Business is growing. And I'll say this about you, Noelia, you're a constant student. So I love that about you, because when you're not a constant student of your industry, of the art, of the service that you provide, what happens is you start to erroneously or irregularly lean on one source of information and expertise. Whereas you're in other digital marketing communities, you're in other communities for video production and everything. So your learning experience is so comprehensive. And I wanted to point that out, because a lot of times people go and look for the silver bullet, even though they don't realize they're looking for the silver bullet. And it's like, listen, I may be a piece, I may be the core piece, but there's other pieces to play for your business success. So that's something that I've loved to see. I love seeing for you. And not just that, you're also always looking at ways to improve. So you and I are in a no code community together. And it's just like, wait a minute, are there ways that we can do these things even better and easier for our clients, right? For a better experience just overall. So it's great. It's great to be in these times and with people like yourself, where we can share ideas and hey, look, this is how I close the client. Look at this proposal that I sent. And hey, what do you think about this? Where else can you bounce those type of ideas? That's safe. It's dangerous in some of these Facebook public groups. And you say an idea and somebody who just started a business yesterday, use this tool. It works. And it's like,
happens all the time. You see it happen all the time. Yeah. I really appreciate you saying that and recognizing that, because that definitely is one of the ways that I describe myself to folks, is that I'm a lifelong learner, and I love learning new things, and I love introducing people to new ideas and sharing ideas, and just the idea of like the idea of ideas, you know, like people being able to share and come together. And that's how we're able to push the boundaries of things and really innovate on stuff. And so definitely, like, I'm someone that's eager to always learn and improve my skills, to my detriment sometimes. But the idea of a shiny object syndrome, to me, everybody calls that a very negative thing. But to me, that's how ideas grow and people push beyond boundaries. So I don't see it as a negative thing. There's potential in all of those shiny things.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You just have to be disciplined. I mean, you all know, and when I say you all, these are everybody in my community, specifically those have finished the ASP program. And we have our weekly office hours. There are times where that shiny object is maybe the highlight of my week, because you have brought a tool to my under knowledge that I didn't know existed. Now a process that I was struggling with can now be improved. And I am notorious for having my entire week scheduled and planned, and one tool it changes it all. But that's the beauty of it, right? Being able to take it on and then share with you guys. Hey, this is how I'm using it. So you guys can adopt it even faster. All right. So we've got a good understanding of who you are. I hope listeners, the reason why I'm asking these questions and saying these things about Noelia, because she's somebody that's invested in her growth. I've invested in her. And when I say, hey, look, this is a certified automation service provider, this is the level of acumen that you're getting. You're seeing that I'm not just picking people off the street like, hey, put this badge on your website and make me look good. There's a process. There's a process into it. So I'm grateful for every single one of you. And your business is really unique. So I feel like your business is, of course, birthed out of the pain that you experienced in the corporate world, having your voice be silenced and just not fitting in. Now you're in a position where you give these nonprofits voices, these areas in entrepreneurship where somebody, a minority may have been muffled in the past. Now it's like, they're ready. They're like, no, I want to get the word out. And they have a noble cause, big heart behind it. But as you know, they need strategy. They need content. They need a system, right, to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's start with strategy. Tell us a little bit about your approach, because this is one of the things that it's easily glossed over. I think strategy becomes like, hey, you need a marketing strategy. And then you just go on to everything else and everybody's like, okay, what else can I touch that mm-hmm. I see? I go by those mm-hmm. things. Yeah. So talk a little bit. I think it's safe to assume most nonprofits and most organizations that you meet, that's the thing that they're lacking. How do you kind of slow them down and get them to mm-hmm. focus on that area of their business?
Yeah, definitely. So it's quite interesting because I think the nonprofit space, although there's a lot of overlap in concepts, there's also a lot of very unique things that are very specific to nonprofits. And so one of them that is just like right off the bat is that they don't really think of it as marketing, right? Like they don't have a marketing department. They're not going to have a director of marketing or a CMO. Often the first place that the conversation starts around is, they refer to it as communications. Communications, community building, donor relationships, PR, those are the kinds of terms that float around in the nonprofit space. Slowly, I think now it's getting more adopted to think about marketing your nonprofit, but it's in the past and throughout my career, it's always been like, oh no, we don't market, we're about creating impact. And, so it's very different. But I like to think of myself and I intentionally try to be the person that looks at what's being done in the for-profit space within industry and bring over some of those strategies and technologies over to the nonprofit world because it tends to move a little bit slower, right? Like the tech that you have available to, SaaS companies is not often available on the nonprofit side, or it's like the early 2000s version of what's available now to other folks. And that's probably the most frustrating thing. But when it comes to strategy, the main thing that I start with, usually with folks, is to really identify what you would say is the target customer. But identifying that on the nonprofit side is to really understand if you have like a donor community, or if you have a member community, or if it's the end user, the end person receiving the services for a nonprofit. And the tricky part with a nonprofit is often they have a really wide breadth of people that they need to serve. So it's often board members. They have lots of stakeholders, board members, donors, the end, recipient, the benefiter, the general community that is trying to give them knowledge about whatever issue or cause. So many of the organizations that I work with are focused around diversity, equity, inclusion. And so they tend to be member-based organizations. We're often trying to figure out how to streamline communications to all of those different areas. And then they all have a different outcome. So some people you're trying to get them to sign up for services, which is a money transaction. Other people you're trying to get them to sign up for programs. And that's not a money transaction, but an impact transaction. Mm-hmm. And then other times the end user is a funder. So you're trying to get grant funding or support from higher level organizations. So the initial step is really figuring out who those target audiences are, how you serve them, and what's the message that we're trying to communicate.
Yeah. And I would say with this foundational work, it starts to really position you and enable you to do some of the most valuable stuff, right? The stuff that they really are seeking you out for. It's like, hey, I need this content, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. And you after you slow, okay, yeah, we can do that. Just wait. Let's get our strategy. Let's get our foundation together. And now you can move into your content production, which I think you do such a good job. And this is where you really start to see the left and right brain. at work, right? Because
yeah.
If you all just, we'll put the website up later at the end of the podcast. But if you go to any page or anything that Noelia has put her hand on, it's just a soft design, great use of white space. The font is welcoming. I mean, these are the types of presentations that organizations need, because their stuff often looks outdated, boring, or it's overly done. There's like 50 images all moving on the screen and you're like, where do I click? Right. So you do a really good job at balancing. But content has a variety of ways that it can be produced. I wanted to give you the floor a little bit and talk about some of the content that you produce at Noteworthy Lab for your clients.
Yeah. Thank you again for just recognizing that and calling that out, because it really is something that I try to do, is to make sure that I'm giving my clients the ability to really compete and demonstrate like what they do in a way that is going to be appealing. Right. And so that often happens with nonprofits, like you said, is that the stuff starts to look outdated. And, you know, to really, you know, understand the nonprofit world is to really understand that often it's really small teams of volunteers that are doing this amazing work. So of course it's hard to keep your website up. Of course it's hard. Like you're finding somebody to volunteer their time to create these things. And, you know, before you know it, there's 10 different people that have touched the website. So you've got 100 different colors, 20 different fonts, you know, things get out of control. And so, you know, what we try to do is really, you know, hone that in, give them a really strong brand, and then also give them the systems that they need to be able to maintain things on their own in a consistent way. So along with a lot of the, you know, work that we do, there's a lot of what is called digital transformation that happens, where you're actually implementing new systems, new technology, a whole new tech stack often. And then I'm training folks on how to execute this. On the content side, what we like to do is identify a platform for them to be able to put their voice out there. This is also, I think, a challenge for nonprofits, because they're so busy delivering services that they don't have time to talk about what it is that they do, because they're really in the trenches doing the thing. Yeah. And it's hard for them to see the value of stepping back and creating content. So we try to come up with the easiest thing. And so sometimes it's video. If it's a, you know, executive director that really likes communicating in that way, they're really good on camera, the kind of person that likes to be on stage, we recommend video. But then sometimes there's program folks that really like to share what they're doing, and they have the connection with the person that they're doing the work with. But audio might be better for them. They're really good talkers, but they're kind of nervous about being on stage. So in those cases, we recommend that people do a podcast. And what I've seen is often board members like to take on that responsibility of doing the podcast and then let the program folks, you know, run the programs. So podcasts are sometimes what we do. And sometimes it's a combination of both, or we just go straight with writing. You know, we go and get people set up with a really good space on their website where they can do really effective SEO and blog content to try to drive traffic. And sometimes that's all they can handle, is just written words. But all of that is important to put the strategy behind it. It's important to identify what is going to be easy for an organization, because sustainability is the key when it comes to content. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're on an endless treadmill of creation. And that's not realistic for small organizations that are often volunteer based.
Yeah, and they need that. They need someone that understands, because my experience with nonprofits is really similar to most businesses. Like you said, there's a lot of parallels, and they'll see a result. They'll see a colleague, a competitor, a friend, or just another business in general doing something, and they want that thing. But they have no idea what it takes to generate that thing and to do it consistently. So with someone like yourself, who not just has the acumen, but you have the business and the team behind being able to solve that problem. So it's like, hey, look, you guys want to get video out consistently? First off, let's sit down and let's talk about who's on video, what it takes. Where's your camera? Oh, we need a camera. That was one of the things you helped me with. I was like, Noelia, look at how good these cameras look of these YouTubers. What are they using? Are these magic cameras? You're like, oh, here's a few. like just like that. You know, you didn't All even right. have to go dig deep. So it's extremely important, especially if you're already in a slower industry, right? That mm-hmm. nonprofits often are, is that you are finding somebody who's not just out to provide a service to make money, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody who is actually immersed in it, is always learning. Fun fact about you is your video is, you're not the main producer of your video. Let's just talk about how you handle video production.
Yeah. So in my company, I partner with my husband. So we are partners in life and partners in business. And so he handles a lot of the creative work and I focus on the strategy with our clients. And so specifically, he does all of our video editing, does a little bit of the podcast work as well. But when we need to do any video or photography or any kind of live video, he's the one that handles it for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was beautiful. Anytime you see couples that can partner in business like they do in doing life, it just lets you know that you've got that relationship often where you don't have to start from scratch every time. You say, hey, look, nope, that's wrong. And they don't take it personally. You know, they're like, oh, I got the wrong shot. Yeah. Can we change this shot? It just allows you to move faster. And then on the other side,
I mean, sometimes, not all the time, right?
We're getting our feelings, right? Like, don't tell me what to do. I know how to run the camera, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a delicate balance. And then you've got, and I want to highlight these things just to give people insight. And maybe they could even start to see possibilities already. What would it be like working with somebody like Noelia Sanchez at Noteworthy Lab, where she understands me? She understands my need to get my voice out, but also is strategic in her approach, understands technology. And I don't want you all to miss it. Noelia mentioned how she trains your team. That is extremely important. I think that it's a shame if any of you have a system built by anybody, I don't care who it is, and they're the only ones that can operate it. You are then imprisoned by that freelancer, imprisoned by that agency owner. And that just shouldn't be the way. So also, we talked about, you mentioned, hey, if video is not your thing, we can do podcasting. And you've got like an entire podcast production team, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, something in regards to what you mentioned just now about training, you know, my experience with, you know, just working within the tech space is it's a very common thing for the tech people to be very closed with their knowledge, right? Like they are going to keep it close and they want to be the ones, I hate to say it, but it's like the tech bros, right? Like they like to be able to be the one that walks in and saves the day. You know, a problem happens and only they can solve it. And they come in and save the day and they get all the praise for it. One of the things that used to always get me in trouble in my corporate space is that I would call that out. Like, why is that the case? Why don't you document it? And that way anybody can save the day. Anyone could solve the problem. So having experienced that many times in my life where a tech professional doesn't share their knowledge, I want it to be the opposite of that, right? So anything that I create for somebody, it's all about, and this is a core element, I think, of being an ASP also, is that you document everything. Like that's key, having everything laid out, being client first focused, so that somebody can take the great thing that you created together, really. Like it's not just yours. You created it together and they can grow it and turn it into something else. And they're completely empowered to do that. So that's a key focus for me, is to make sure that happens. Yeah. And so, you know, along those lines, even though when we support folks with content creation, you know, we do take over your whole process to make it easier for you with podcasts. What we like to say is you just have to show up, record, and then we handle the rest. And that's truly what we want to make it like, really seamless and easy. Yeah. And so we do show notes, we do audio editing and video editing. If you do a video podcast, we post it to all the different locations to make sure distribution happens. So we handle all the different parts for people just so that it's nice and simple. But it's documented. So anytime somebody needs to move on or bring it in-house, because some folks like to, if the podcast does well, you know, this is what we want. We want their team to grow and to bring somebody in and let somebody have that role internally. And when that happens, we turn over everything. We have it all totally documented. We teach them how to do it so that it's the person on the inside can then pick up seamlessly.
Yeah. And it's a very unique approach. And I'll say this, podcasting, especially in certain industries, and when you have a good cause, you can't produce enough content. When you're doing good deeds, yeah. you know, and you've yeah. got a great mission, it's to the benefit. I think every nonprofit should have a podcast. And I want to say this, this is not fluff. This is real. A world where you can sit down, record a podcast, click end, upload that to some shared folder, and sit back and let them do the rest. I've seen this with my own eyes, by the way, where they'll produce the social media, different sizes for different platforms, the show notes, the quotes. I mean, this is full service. So a lot of times people get overwhelmed, especially tech, right? So you've got a tech element, then you've got just an operational element. So for you all to take that on, and again, you're going to see the design skills, right? Your thumbnails are going to be beautiful. You're not going to have to look and be like, hey, those aren't my brand colors, right? These are small things, Noelia, that people don't even realize. They're like, oh, they're going to help me. And then they give you something back and you're like, what is that? And I've seen people go out in the marketplace, their colors are blue and yellow, maybe. And then somebody gives them a piece that's money green. And it's just like, where does it fit? You know? So these are, I like to highlight these differentiators, because when people don't know what to look for, they often accept the first thing that mm-hmm. looks good.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what to look for and that looks good, it probably is a bad choice. You know, yep. So hopefully we can educate you all on what to look for. So when you go and look, you can at least have some discernment and say, you know what? I remember on the podcast, let me run the other way, that they do not even use their own branding, you know, on their right. Their stuff. So, all right. With that being said, Noelia, you know, I can talk to you forever. What's next? What are you up to here at Noteworthy Lab mm-hmm. that you like our listeners to know? And I'll start it off. She is already on the website as a certified partner. You can go to automationbridge.com/ASP-directory and you will see Noelia's profile and reach out to her directly right there. But what else? What are you up to, Noelia? What's in the oven right now?
Yeah, well, a couple things that we've been thinking about a lot lately is really working closely at, you mentioned our staff, you know, with on the podcast and content creation side. You know, something that's really important to us is, you know, we believe in youth development. And so the mm-hmm. folks that help us with production, we hire young people. And so we're really looking at expanding that a bit more, because we want to train the workforce of the future and give these tech skills like I was given as a young person and really allow them to help them flourish and grow. So we're looking to expand our team and grow it in these areas of for young women and people of color to get these tech skills and figure out a nice way to be able to rotate people in and out so more people get the experience. So we're working on doing that program development, and then also really thinking about ways that we can bring together many of the professionals that we've met within the nonprofit space that do work within communication/marketing now, and really gather them into a little bit of a mastermind for themselves to be able to share strategies as they sort of dive into more technology, and really support them and create a space for them to collaborate.
Yeah, I love it. Founders, CEOs, they need community. They need a place to go to bounce ideas off of, to be inspired, to be challenged, because what I found is that when you don't have that, you will create it because it's a need. When you started your business, I hope you realized that was a need for you to be able to bounce ideas off people.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing that I see a lot, Noelia, is when they do that internally in their business. And bless the heart of all of the people that work for these companies. They do their best trying to give good feedback and support. But sometimes you just need to go to a bigger, deeper well, right? You need to, yep. go, hey, I've got the water at this level. I need to go a little deeper. What's working in my industry? What's not? What are opportunities out there? So I love the idea of that community to bring them together to share these strategies and stories so that they can shorten their learning curve. Because especially minority-based yeah. businesses, we don't often have all of this breadth of knowledge easily accessible and available. So that's great to hear that. All right. So we're towards our end. Where can people go if you haven't pieced it together by now, everybody? Where can people go to find out more, to connect with you deeper? Where should we send them?
Yeah. So you can just check out the website, noteworthylab.com. You'll find all the information there to connect. Schedule a call if you want to hear more about what we do and just chat about how you can leverage and use content marketing to get your word out about your organization.
Yes. Now that link will be in the show notes, everyone. So if you're listening on your device right now, go ahead, click show notes. It's right there. Super easy to find. I'm on the site right now, right there in the upper right, book a call. You're not going to have to work hard to get in contact with Noelia. Noelia, I have to thank you for your commitment to growth that brought you into my life and crossed our paths, and your ongoing commitment to be a student. It has been a joy to watch you flourish and watch your business grow. And I hope that somebody that's listening today takes you up on your offer to connect and learn how to properly leverage technology through a strategic approach and content production. I think you're the missing piece for somebody that's listening, probably more than one person that's listening. So I would encourage you, listener, to just take action. Just take action. If you're not watching, if you're listening to this, you may want to check this one out on video too. How can you say no to Noelia? You guys think I smile a lot. I've met my match.
Oh boy.
Thank you so much, Noelia, for coming on the podcast. It is greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Likewise, it's been a wonderful journey getting to know you and getting to be part of the community.
Yes, absolutely. So I have the fortunate benefit to see you in the community online afterwards. So, all right, take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly. And you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.